Welcome to Supernatural Stocks on MoneyWeb with your host, The Finance Ghost. This is your weekly fix of equity analysis designed for stock pickers. Whether local or international, you can expect a mix of news and my ideas about what I'm seeing in the markets. Do you remember when LVMH was the market darling? When Bernard Arnault was the richest person in the world for a short while, with his face on the covers of magazines? Well, LVMH is down 15% in the past 12 months and is almost 40% off the peaks in April 2023. Ouch. LVMH is often used as the poster child for the luxury sector, and that's not really accurate. Sure, it might have the likes of Louis Vuitton in there, but there's nothing luxe about Sephora as a cosmetics retailer. If you want the best example of luxury, then you need to look at Hermes. Hermes will happily sell you the Woof Flying Disc, I'm sure there's a fancier way to pronounce it than that, for the purposes of playing with your dog. This chewy frisbee costs a cool $265, making it the perfect choice for anyone who desperately wants the other people in the dog park to know that they are very, very rich. My personal views on anyone who can spend that on a chewy toy aside, it tells you a lot about the power of the brand and what they can charge for their products, and of course, the margins they can make. Unlike LVMH, Hermes is flat over the past year, hanging on to its incredible PE multiple of almost 49, while LVMH is trading down at 25x. It's very hard for me to understand why anyone would buy into Hermes at these levels, because there really is no room for upside in that multiple. At least the share price is in line with its early 2023 levels, though, unlike the disaster that is LVMH in relative terms. What about Ferrari, the motoring equivalent of Hermes? Well, at one point, the iconic Maranello brand had caught up to Hermes in terms of valuation multiple, but the wheels came off the story in the past week in a way that even the Ferrari race strategists would be ashamed of, with the share price shedding nearly a fifth of its value. Before you make the mistake of attributing this to the Formula One team's performance, I must note that the compound annual growth rate, or CAGR, in the share price is 25.6% since the IPO in 2015. Ferrari last won the Formula One World Championship in 2008, so clearly success on the track is not a prerequisite for the share price to do well. For further context, to just how long ago that is, the iPhone was launched just 1 year earlier in 2007. There are clearly a lot of interesting stories in the luxury space, especially among the biggest names. But by far the most fascinating at the moment is a name that is seen as the perennial underperformer in the sector, Kering. The share price has been on an incredible run recently, and for one reason in particular. So who is Kering, anyway? When you look at luxury goods companies, the lists of brands normally include a bunch of names that you've never heard of and wouldn't even have the first clue how to pronounce. At Kering, you'll find names that are not that out of reach for people who have some spending money at least, even if it's only for a t-shirt or perfume. Do Gucci and Yves Saint Laurent ring any bells? Therein lies the problem for Kering. The brands are not exactly in the $265 dog toy category. And if you look at the results for the first half of the year, then you'll really scratch your head about the share price performance, as Gucci revenue was down by a whopping 25%. It doesn't get much better in the other brands, to be honest, with only a couple of houses, as they are called, registering year-on-year sales growth. On the earnings call a few months ago, management wouldn't give any forecasts for Gucci for the third quarter. In fact, they wouldn't give much away at all, actually, mainly because new CEO Luca De Meo was set to take office in mid-September. And whilst that very Italian name might sound like he's worked in luxury for ages, this couldn't be further from the truth. You see, Kering has taken a risk here. They've brought in the ex-CEO of Renault, a man who led the exceptional turnaround of the company over the past 5 years. He is largely credited with saving the French carmaker, having made extensive changes to the business. The Kering share price performance starts to make more sense now. His appointment was announced on 16th June, with the share price trading at just over 170 euros a share. It's now at 312 euros, a return of over 80% in the space of nearly 4 months, and certainly not because of the financial performance. The market clearly likes him. The luxury sector isn't exactly famous for having decisive leadership who make big changes in a short space of time. At LVMH, the succession plan is worthy of its own Netflix series, with all kinds of jostling in the controlling family for who will take the reins at the group. It's simply a reality in Europe that the prevailing business culture doesn't lend itself to the kind of turnaround story that so many of the businesses desperately need. De Meo's track record at Renault is there for all to see. If anyone is going to light a fire in the luxury sector and achieve meaningful changes, it's him. So what could the changes be? He's already talking about the need for clear and strong choices and a requirement to act without delay in sorting out the group. But one of the big pushes is going to be the speed with which products go to market. He intends to halve the time between first sketch and being on the shelves from 1 year to 6 months. Just consider for a moment how much of a change that is to the entire way in which the group functions. If that isn't enough to upset the apple cart for the creative directors, then this comment will definitely do the job. DeMeo reckons that only 20% of the products should be focused on the creative vision, with the other 80% being based on a common sense approach that meets consumer expectations. In other words, just get the leather bags right and don't take risks with every single item on the shelf. He also plans to reposition and rationalize the brands, a strategy that makes sense in the context of the numerous changes that have been made at Renault. As you've probably noticed on the roads around you, Renault has transformed to a value-focused strategy that is a hit with Uber drivers. To address demand for sports cars, Renault invested in Alpine and distinguished it from the Renault brand, allowing them to charge more premium prices without the brand confusion of trying to sell an upmarket Renault sport vehicle next to a Quid, or having pictures of a Formula One team next to a perfectly sensible, affordable family SUV. The TLDR here is that DeMeo understands a thing or two about brands, and that is going to make a big difference at Kering. How much juice is actually left to squeeze, though? After such an incredible share price rally, you might be tempted to think that there's no room left for growth. To make that assessment, one of the ways we can do it is to look at the price sales multiple to see what the market is currently paying for the pool of revenue that DeMeo has to work with. Given the very messy profitability right now, I think it's a cleaner way to look at things than more traditional multiples like price earnings. Kering is currently trading on a 2.4x price sales multiple, which is only slightly above the average if you go back about two decades. More recent averages are heavily skewed by COVID, with the 5-year average being 3.4. It's important to include another data point from the sector here. So let's look at LVMH, currently trading on 3.3x versus a long-term average of 3.2 and a 5-year average of 4.8. So both names are trading in line with their respective long-term averages, but LVMH is sitting with an extremely difficult family situation on its board, while Kering now has one of Europe's best turnaround specialists at the helm. Of these two, if one of them is going to achieve a re-rating of the multiple, it's probably Kering. Can it get up to where LVMH is trading? I'm not sure, but it's also not impossible for LVMH to drop closer to Kering as well. Here's a final point for consideration. Kering is currently trading at the same price we saw in June 2024. This is a name that is worth keeping an eye on, all while we imagine the boardroom boxing matches that must be taking place between the creative directors and an ex-automotive industry exec who just wants to see a sensible product range. If the Kering turnaround is a success, it is going to change the way luxury companies think about their businesses. And it's also quite funny to think that the man responsible for the influx of the Renault Quid on our roads could also be responsible for a turnaround at Gucci. It just shows, when you're a specialist in turnarounds, it almost doesn't matter what the underlying company actually does. There's no such thing as an opportunity without risk, and these are merely my opinions on the stocks covered herein. Make sure that you do your own research, form your own views on the market when doing anything in your portfolio. Nothing in supernatural stocks should be taken as advice.